chief of the beat at comicsbeat.com and a contributing editor to Publishers Weekly. You can find us online at PW Comics World on all social media platforms, including Blue Sky, Facebook, and Tumblr. And also, you can find us mostly on podcast subscription services if you would like to hear this every time it comes out. And so hit that like and subscribe, smash that like button. Thank you, listeners. And so today we have a very cool guest that we've been chasing for a while. And I've been on his podcast a couple times, and now he's on ours. Adam Freeman of Prana Direct Market Solutions. Hey, welcome, Adam.
Hey, that's me. Awesome. Thanks
Hey,
for having me on,
yes.
Heidi. I've been looking forward to this. It's been great.
Yes. Well, we've only been talking about it for a year, so
Listen, I feel like if we got it done inside of a year, it feels like to
yes.
me like that's just that for you and me, that's incredible. That's light speed.
To be honest, it is light speed. Now, Adam, you also do your own. You do two weekly
I
podcasts,
do.
right?
I do. We do Comic Industry Insiders, which is a long form conversation with the people behind the scenes of the comic book industry, where we talk about their careers. We talk about the things they've learned along the way, the things that you can learn for your business or career in comics. That one's a labor of love. I really love that. I get a chance to like deep dive on my friends and ask them all the questions that you never have time to over drinks, So, yeah.
Right. And you've had really everybody who's every anybody on there. You've had so many really important, great people on there. I know you just had Philip Sablik. You had him on
Yeah.
twice talking about Ignition Press, for instance. I know you just had retailer Jake Shapiro, Phantom
Yep.
Comics on. That's just the ones that I've seen recently. But so seriously, podcast listeners, please do subscribe to Adam's Comic Industry Insiders, because it really is one of the only really actual business comic book industry business podcasts out there.
Oh, thank you.
And
Thank
then
you.
you do your live stream, right?
That's right. My co-host Brian Garside of Managed Comics and now comicpreviews.com. We do a weekly live broadcast where we talk about that what's happening in comics that week. So the big business beats, like the things that are affecting our industry on a week-to-week basis. And we also talk about market share reports and bestsellers. We talk about what's coming up on FOC. We talk about, we really try and get a good overview of what's happening in the comics industry from week to week. And that's a real challenge, but we get there.
Sounds kind of like more to come. Maybe you're not
Oh,
a colleague, you're a competitor.
well.
No, honestly, we
We could
could use all,
easily, yeah, talk to
we
both.
need all the people, informed people talking about this that we can get.
Absolutely.
Well, Adam, before we talk about your big debut this week, which is actually a return to print of all things for
I know.
comics journalism, tell us just what Prana is, Prana Direct Market Solutions.
So Prana Direct Market Solutions, it started off as just like an umbrella for my own freelance work. And then I think just a couple of years ago, I was stepping down from a big position that I had taken like a single client, and I'd done this a couple times. And I realized that, to do this right, we need to build resources for the whole industry. So we stepped back and we started bringing in other team members. And so now Prana Direct Market Solutions is, I guess at the base of it, we say we're a consulting and like publishing services company, meaning that we provide a lot of different services for everybody in the comics industry. There's really nothing from the moment of conceiving the book all the way through to putting it into the stores that we don't do in one form or another, for one of our, dozen or so clients. A lot of crowdfunding, a lot of publishing. We started something called Prana Publishers, which is our distribution aggregator, where we take smaller publishers and put them in under our umbrella for our deals with Lunar Distribution and Universal Distribution and Diamond UK. To allow them to get into comic shops, because right now smaller publishers don't really have that access because the distributors don't really have the bandwidth for smaller publishers anymore. I mean, I guess in a nutshell, that's what we do. We're just basically anything that you need done inside of comics publishing that isn't drawing and writing, that's us. So, yeah.
Well, that's wild because, like you said, I think when you started, which was how, when did you start Prana? I mean,
Technically, it was 2018 when I left Valiant. That
that
was,
was that long ago?
yeah, that was when I
Wow.
formed the
Okay.
LLC.
Okay. So it's been
Yeah.
eight. Oh, all right. Eight. So 8 years. All right. That's a good amount of time.
Yeah.
Boy, it seems like yesterday. Good God.
I know.
Yeah, right. But I also,
I didn't have this gray in my beard when I started,
yeah,
that's for
it's
sure.
true. You're a young, fresh-faced fella. I, of course, have been talking to you, throughout that period. And as I recall, when you did start, you were just kind of, I would say marketing was more the thing. It's like,
Yeah.
because it's something that folks in comics need quite a bit is, like maybe they're a small indie publisher, or they've done a crowdfunder, or they've pub self-published something, and they need somebody to do the marketing. And I think that's what you kind of started out as.
Yeah.
But along the way, like you said, you were like, oh, we need all these other things. And we all think that in comics. Like, we could sit around, at Comics Pro, we were both just there, and
Yeah.
say, oh, we need X, Y, and Z. But it rarely gets off the thinking pad because it takes a lot of work. But you've managed to
Does.
actually do so many of the things that we've talked about.
Listen, I think that if I had in the last 2 years, we really accelerated our growth. And just, I mean, just to be completely frank, I learned how to weaponize my own ADHD, right? I love comics. I love making them. I love selling them. I love promoting them. I love analyzing what worked and what didn't work. There's just no part of the mechanical process of making and producing comics that I'm not endlessly curious about. And so it wasn't until I started gathering together people that are like me and we started putting together this crew that I was able to do that in any sort of real usable form. And so, now we have this team and it allows us to take on big projects like Comics the Magazine. It allows us to create what I think is going to be, and really already is, the only bestseller list available, for single issue comics, and will soon be trade paperbacks for what's happening in the shops. It has allowed us to be, I think, one of the best one-stop shops anywhere, for every facet of comics promotion, production, publishing. So it's but again, it took me 6 years to get to a place where I realized, oh, well, if I bring in other people, we can do this together, So yeah, here we
Oh
are.
yes, other people, helpers. Teamwork makes the dream
Exactly.
work.
It sure
Well, your
does.
most ambitious project to date is just launched this week. You can find it in comic shops. It's called Comics the Magazine. Comics exclamation point the magazine.
That's correct.
It is a spin-off of Zdarsky Comic News, which was Chip Zdarsky's, started as a joke, and then it kind of came more and more popular, right? So tell
Yeah.
us about the evolution of, and how many pages is Comics the Magazine?
First issue is 48. Second
48 pages.
issue is going to be 32.
Right.
We're gonna be tinkering with page counts and, advertising ratios and all the things that go into publishing a magazine that nobody thinks about anymore. We'll be tinkering with those things for a while. I imagine no two of these are going to look alike for, my guess is the first year or so. But the one thing that will be consistent throughout is it's just a celebration of what comics is, right? It is just unapologetically optimistic. We are not looking for cynicism. We are not looking for sarcasm. We are looking for celebrating the things that are good about our industry and introducing the things that we love to people that are just entering into our industry for the first time. People are coming into comic shops now for the first time in droves because they grew up as this Dogman generation that then took on manga and is now looking at American comics and going, okay, what else is there? And so they're coming into these stores and we needed something that kind of transitioned to them to the rest of the store. And so that's what Comics the Magazine is. It's just that it is that almost that guide to the rest of this world that you and I love so much. So
But
yeah.
why print?
Why print? Because unfortunately, we did not see, unfortunately, even though you guys at the beat do such an incredible job, and there are other people that are doing their best to try and keep up with you, and they just can't. But for whatever
Flattery.
reason, social media and websites just they just don't resonate the way they used to for everyone. Like they don't, we're not seeing that sort of connection. As a marketer, I wasn't seeing that I place a story with anyone, right? Not even not talk about the beat. Like I go to like a big publication, like Deadline. It's not gonna move. No, nobody buys comics because of them. They used to, they just don't anymore. So as a marketer, I'm asking myself, why is this? You asked me about the origin story. So I think that actually, I'll tell you that origin story because I think that feeds the answer to this question. About, I'm going to put this now at about 2 years ago. I started, we were getting more ambitious about things we were doing at Prana. And so people, and when you start doing that, people, the person you delegate to is the busiest person in the room. So everybody would come to me and say, you know what we really need in this industry is we need something that sells comics. It doesn't sell bullshit. Can we curse on this? Am I allowed to curse? I don't know. I
Yes,
just
yes,
did.
yes. Well, I
Okay,
think,
great.
well, we're past the, I think you, anyway,
Yeah, I
yes,
get you.
we just did.
We don't want to kick you off. We don't want the bullshit. We don't want the industry gossip. We just want to sell comics, and nobody's doing that. There's no, I mean, for I hate to say because a lot of people are making this comparison, Wizard Magazine. There's no Wizard Magazine anymore that just sells the idea of comics. And I kept saying to them, yeah, sure. And I agree, we need that. They would say, well, you should do it. And I would say, I don't want to. I've got other things.
Yes, you do it. You had this good idea, so you have to do it. Sort of
Exactly. Oh, people love to do that. They
yes,
do.
the
Yeah, they do.
horrible ironies of life.
Oh, yeah. So once again, busiest person in the room. You say, hey, go do this. I had this conversation three or four times with people like that you would know, right? I mean, the people, bit real players in the industry who wanted these things to happen, and it for a very good reason. But I kept saying, I don't know, I'm not interested. And so about the third or fourth time, I said, you know, you should talk to Chip Zdarsky. He's doing ZCN. He put it out for free as a goof, and now he's doing it monthly. He's selling other people's comics. This thing could scale. All he really needs is really good advertising sales and better circulation. He needs to, a little bit. So I started telling this to people who would bring this idea to me, like it was a gift. And I'm like, I know. And eventually this got around to somebody introducing me to Chip. Now I'd met Chip once before. We had, we obviously know of each other. And I said, hey, I'm such a big fan of ZCN. And I told him the story I'm telling you. He says, it's funny you should say that. I really need somebody who can deal with the business side of it. I like putting it together. I like interviewing people. I just need somebody who can handle all the advertising and distributors and all that. And I
Yes,
said,
yes, yes.
well, God damn it. I'm right. I don't want to be a publisher, but sure, I can do this part. And so we did. And we turned what was a promotional item for him into something that was a successful business. It was a profitable business in the first month that we started. And it was profitable through the end of that year. When he finally decided he just couldn't do it anymore because he's got to go run Marvel editorial or whatever it is he's doing now. And so we got really good at selling ads. I was not, I was shocked the hell out of me, but it turns out that's actually the piece that if you want to do this, you have to be good at. Because these things, these,
Oh boy, by the way, as someone who worked in the magazine industry for 40 years, yes. Co-sign.
oh,
Anyway, yeah, go on.
yeah. I
The
mean,
ad sales, man.
you want to hear I mean, I'm holding a copy of Bleeding Hearts, right? So this is a DC book. We've got, or rather, I guess Vertigo,
It's
technically.
Vertigo, yeah.
Yeah. Well, but I've got other books here. Really, at the end of the day, these are publications and monthly publications. They originally were designed to be vehicles for advertising, right? We at some point removed the advertising and increased the cover prices. And so that's why single issues still work in comics, but I still think they would work so much better if we had conduits for advertising. So this is, again, these are all my pet theories. They're all banging around in here. Chip, we get to the end of that year. Chip says, I gotta quit this. I can't, because we said, well, why don't we hire in editors and designers and such? And he goes, okay, let's do that. I really can't. I'm too much of a control freak. I gotta put this away. So, okay, this was fun. I appreciate it. We'll finish this out, part as friends. Meanwhile, there's a man named Jason Blanchard who I've been working with for now for a couple of years. He runs Rekka Comics. He works at Black Hills Information Security. He used to run a comic shop in Florida and then worked at Diamond doing Free Comic Book Day. So Jason now works in cybersecurity, and they have something that they call social engineering, which is basically I'm manipulating people in the way that hackers manipulate computers, right?
Yeah, that's a
Jason,
very bad thing, but okay, let's go with it for now.
well, whatever. It's a skill that they have. I don't want to
Yes.
put good or bad to it.
Yes, yes,
They would
yes.
argue that there are white hat hackers and there are black hat hackers,
Well,
black hat
do no
hackers.
harm, but yes.
Yes, exactly. So Jason, basically was manipulating me for several years into talking about Wizard on a daily basis because he wanted a Wizard magazine. He was one of that chorus that was saying you should do it. And it turns out, I didn't realize this, but Joe Keating, who I was also working with at Rekka Comics, he was also manipulating Joe at the same time to get him thinking about Wizard magazine. And so Joe and I was saying, listen, ZCN's is done. I don't know if we're gonna keep it going or what. And we just realized we couldn't let this go. So we put together a crew. That crew changed a few times before, but now we ended up with what I think is the kind of real secret sauce. I found a guy who Gabe Yoakum showed up and to me one day and says, I love what you're doing. I don't know how I'm gonna be involved, but I wanna be involved. And for me, I keep telling the story that it was like Tom Hanks in Castaway, finally seeing that that porta potty showed up and goes, oh, that's a sale. I knew I could sell advertising. I just knew that I didn't have the bandwidth to go out and do outbound calls. Gabe is an outbound guy. So once he showed up, I was like, well, this kind of makes sense. So
Yeah.
we went through
Cold
the
calling.
process. Exactly. You got to
Yeah.
get out there, right? So now we've got it's myself. Joe Keating is the editor in chief. We've got Rico Renzi. I want to talk about this will
Wow.
actually work. The day that Rico signed on, that was it,
Yeah,
right?
he's a phenomenal.
And
I'm a huge
we've got
fan.
Megan Marsden, who is our head of operations. Megan has you've never met anybody who loves comics more than Megan. She has done so much work for small press, showing up whenever people need her. She started off at Diamond, just kind of getting to know it and just becoming crucial. She's the secret
But
weapon.
Megan has wrote a little bit for the Beat a few times,
Yeah.
and then she got too busy working for you. So, but I understand because
Sorry.
you were paying her more. But yeah, Megan is a secret weapon of the industry for sure, as
For
are all the
sure.
people you just named, actually.
Oh,
Interesting.
I
Interesting.
do try and make it my business to
Mission
know who they
Possible.
are. That's
Mission.
right.
Yes, you got a Mission Possible going on there. Well, listen, we're curtailed on time here, so I want to because you're so darn busy, you don't have all day to talk and yap on somebody's podcast. But one of the things that you said was so interesting about marketing not working. And you and I talk all the time, obviously, over the years, and we've been talking about this for quite a while. And there was a marketing panel at Comics Pro that I was on, and I kind of miss. I think one of the things that was great about print magazines, and they still exist, but in a lesser form. But I think one of the great things about print magazines was like when there was a Spin magazine or a Revolver magazine, or going all the way back to so many great culture magazines, Interview magazine. And when you look through it, it had the imprimatur of saying, like, oh, here's what we think is important. Here is a curated list. You don't, here's our albums that we pick to review because we think they're important, or they are, the audience thinks. And that was such a relief. And I think part of the reason why the internet is so hard to work, well, first off, all of the major platforms have throttled links. So they don't want it to work, which is, of course,
That's
horrible.
exactly
But
right.
also, just there's just too much of it. Everything is on there all the time. It's like a nonstop gushing ocean. And so I think curation is really like, I think people want to be guided,
I think
take my
so.
hand.
I think it's curation. I think you're 100% right. And as we were just talking about how I think the picks section of Comics the Magazine is going to end up being one of the most influential places in all of our industry because it is limited. right? There's only so many pages we can give to it, so you have to make sure that they are the cream. And we ended up calling the hit of the month because it was the first item on our list. It happened to, because of the way the schedules worked, it ended up coming out a week. Our magazine came out a week after it did. But it's we just, you're absolutely right. Curation is crucial, and you are limited. But it's an interesting piece is that you're limited to pages, so therefore you cannot have an endless list. But because you have pages, you can actually do in-depth conversation in a way that, for some reason, and you would know this better than I, blogs and online sites, that there is long form has just gone, is it gone? There is no long form conversation in text anymore online.
And also, the fact is that people, when they read text, it just hits their brains differently. Like,
Yes.
literally, physiologically, we perceive written text differently than we do electronic text, and it's stickier. It's way
Yeah.
stickier. So yeah, the print might be making a comeback. Good
I think
thought.
so.
I think, the continued success of comics and books in this hellscape shows that people like to hold things in their hands that they can read and look at.
Here's another piece, and I think it's when you ask why print, for me, when I started Prana, one of the things I did is I started working in comic shops on a weekly basis. I would just go in and say, "Hey, you don't have to pay me. I just want to work behind the counter." And I would help them out, do bags and boards, filing, whatever. But the reason I was doing it is I wanted to talk to fans, right? I wanted to discuss with them why they're making the decisions they're making. And I would ask them, "How did you hear about what you're buying today? Did you go to the beat? Did you go to another site? Was it social media? Do you have an influ Who are the influencers you're listening to?" That kind of thing. I swear to God, 9 out of 10 of them, I wrote it down. I have a journal of it. 9 out of 10 of them said, "I don't know. I come in here. I talk to the guy behind the counter. I look at what's here. I have a pull list of stuff I like. I know who's writing I like. And I just decide here." So this got me to thinking. I asked a couple more retailers, "Can you do these polls?" And what I landed on was 87%. 87% of people who go into comic shops to actually buy comics on a regular basis do no previous research. They just go in. For them, the physical is the medium. So there is no hybrid for them. There's no overlap. Now, I'm sure that whatever that 13% is, that's where we get into digital comics and people discoverability and all of those things that we like to talk about that are absolutely great. But how do we get that 87%? I think you have to be in print to get to them. I think you have to be in print to promote to them. You have to put posters and POP in the
Well, I
stores and that
mean, I
sort of
was going to
thing.
say you just made a powerful argument for POP as well.
Yeah.
So,
Well,
which
I'm the king of
point of
POP,
purchase.
darling.
Point of purchase in case you're not in on consumer
Right.
speak. So
Sorry.
yeah. So listen, we don't have much time because you got to get going. But I want to talk about two other things that you mentioned. So
Let's
kind
go.
of briefly, we can't do a deep dive, but we're gonna have you
I can
back
come
for
back
sure.
to a part two. Let's
Yeah,
do
let's
it.
come back into part two because these are
Okay.
things that we've been talking about on More to Come for decades. Well, only over a decade. We've only been doing it 13 years, but 14 years. I don't know.
You'll get
Anyway,
there.
okay. Cut the crap. Sales charts.
Yes.
Okay. So this is another thing we've been talking about for years. And we all know that we need sales charts. And so you are running sales charts in your weekly newsletter, which for some reason, by the way, I cannot subscribe to. So I'm going to try a different email. But
Okay. We'll fix it for you.
so tell us the provenance
Sure.
and what these sales charts are.
All right, let's talk about the difficulty of sales charts first, and then we
Yes.
can talk about why ours work. Okay. The history of sales charts is Diamond Forever put out a list that was not designed to be a sales chart list. It was designed to be a ranking list that would allow brand new stores to go in and say, "All right, I want to order 10 copies of Batman. All right, if I'm ordering 10 copies of Batman, then what else do I need to be ordering and what percentages?" That was the
Okay.
way these lists were designed. This dog just came in to say hello.
Okay. Bumper.
That list was forever the sales chart. Places like ICV2 and Comicron would take that sales chart and extrapolate out based on the numbers that they knew what they didn't know. Right. I think there's some conversation about later on in that process, they were able to get more specific numbers. I still have my questions about that, but let's not get into that. That's a bigger conversation. So, how do you get more accurate sales charts? How do you get more accurate sales charts about what's actually selling in the shops as opposed to what Diamond is distributing, which is all that what that list was?
Right.
The way you do that is through POS systems. Why is that point of sale systems, the computer systems that retailers are using? Why is that so difficult? Why? Because there's no incentive for the retailers to share it. In the book market, they share it because that's how they get paid. That's how they decide what they're paying for. Like, it's a very specific thing. Same for record stores. Same, all they all have a real specific incentive to share that data. Comic shops, real protective of that data. They don't want to share it. But with the advent of these larger POS systems, they have now have an incentive because, you know, they have a service that is being provided to them, and the services are taking that data and they're aggregating it together in a way that anonymizes it, so no single store has a problem. Okay. Now, what is the Prana bestseller list? We have been working with Managed Comics, which is a large system. It's not a POS system, but it does handle like subscriptions and special orders, and it works with other POS systems. Managed Comics now covers just under 500 stores. We're also working with Comic Shop Assistant, which is a POS system. It works, it's a fully integrated POS system that goes into the shops. That's just a little over 100 stores. So, right, we're right at about 600 stores that we're now getting data from. We get data from that includes subscriptions, like how, what do you have, what do people have coming into their pull boxes, special orders, what are the special covers they want to receive, and we get what are the what is selling, what is actually selling off the shelves,
Sell through the
sell through.
mythical
Yes,
sell
indeed.
through.
So we are getting that data now. Now, some of it we're getting in from just a few stores, some of it we're getting for a lot. One of the problems that we've had in POS sales data is stores adopting the systems as they're designed. So, for instance, Comic Hub, to name one that is reporting, has a real challenge because nobody—not nobody, but you know—the majority of the systems that people that are using that system are not using it the way it's designed. So, therefore, the data really coming out of it is just a smaller percentage than you want of the overall users that you're getting usable data from. You have to have a large enough cohort that even when not everybody's using it properly, you still get good data. That's why we now feel confident that we have good data using data from 600 stores, so that even when they're not all using it the same way, we're still getting the right data.
You're getting consistent. You're getting
Yes.
consistent
A large
reporting.
enough cohort
Right.
that we can make guesses as to what everybody else is doing. We're still integrating more. We've talked to a lot of big retailers who are willing to share their data that are going to be, and we're going to be integrating as we go forward. But right this second, we feel confident in saying in giving out what we're giving
Give
right now.
those right. So just to be clear on one of the many problems about this, and
Yes.
listeners, I just wrote a piece for the Beat this week, and David Harper had a whole survey, straw poll about sales charts. Well, maybe we'll put them those in the links to the YouTube version of this,
Should.
but if you want to read more about it. But there's a lot of impediments. And one of the things that people tell me is that you just said some big box retailers, so just throw names out there: Midtown Comics, DCBS, Direct Comic Business Services. I forget what
Discount
DCBS.
comic book
Yes,
service.
Discount Comic Book Services, and Third Eye. So the largest accounts order hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of comics. And so this is very important data. So, I mean, is this the kind of data that you could be folding into these charts?
Yes, I don't want to talk about
No,
who.
I know. We're not
Yeah.
naming names. We're saying there are very large accounts that
There are
don't
very
go
large accounts.
through Managed Comics, don't go through Comic Shop
Yes.
Assistant, as so it's moving away from let's say, POS systems to kind of direct reporting in a way.
Exactly. Exactly. And so that kind of data, once you start getting it, you can start making extrapolations. And it's not until you have an until you know enough that you can guess about what you don't know that it really becomes useful.
So
So,
let me ask you this. Why do you think there is so much like resistance to having sales charts? Like everybody's kind of come around to it because I think one of the reasons you say bookstores and record stores want, they have incentives to order. But I do think bookstores like saying, bestsellers, they want to say New York Times number one bestseller. They want to have that, it's also like bestseller lists are marketing tools also, right? So anyway, why the problem?
So there's resistance on nearly every level, and I think honestly, at the end of the day, I think nobody comes to com people come to comics because they don't mind the fact that they are into something that not everybody's
Right.
into, right? They come to comics because they don't mind, they don't care that you think they're a nerd. You don't care that you didn't go to the movie 6 times a week. You went to the comic book shop instead, or sit down and watch Netflix, or rather. Sorry, I just dated myself, right? But there's an independent streak that comes with being a comic fan. Refine that down to somebody who's willing to open a comic book shop or start a comic book publisher, and now you've got these like super independent people that are not interested in joining. They're just not joiners. They are independent for a reason. So I think that's really at its peak. So for stores, many of them are very reticent to share their data in any way, shape, or form, even when it's aggregated. They're very reticent to share it because they don't want anybody to have a competitive advantage over them if they can isolate it. Understandable.
Of
It's just
course,
part
of
of the why
course.
this is really difficult. For publishers, once again, what is the incentive for them to share their failures? Right. They have an incentive to share their successes and they can control that. They can say, they can put a number out there. Nobody's going to argue with them because nobody can tell you they're wrong. So, as most of these publishers, they have someone that they're reporting to or someone they're trying to court. Right. So maybe they're reporting to a big corporate interest and they need to be able to say to them, yeah, these numbers suck, but they're really good compared to everybody else. Well, how do you know? Well, because we know, right? Or, investors, hey, you should invest in our publishing company because we do really big stuff and look at all these huge headlines. Well, how is it selling? Well, here it is. Oh, that no, those numbers look small. Yeah, but they're not compared to everybody else. Well, how do you know? Well, nobody knows. Right. So there are some incentives to kind of keep this data close. That's why it's so difficult to put this together when you don't have an overarching company like Diamond saying, we gotta, So it's hard is the answer. And that's why it's taking so long. We're getting there. We're only at this point, we have a lot of data that we're getting. We're only reporting the stuff that we're confident that we can share. But we're doing that all through the pranadm.com. You can sign up for the newsletter. We do it every week, the top
Unless
400 in the
you could
source.
sign to get the top 400, also a publisher's marketing share. You can sign up unless you're Heidi McDonald, because I know I've signed up for it and it doesn't, I don't know, it's very strange. It doesn't even go into my spam. Just real fast, I was looking at the last few months and because I think you just launched this, like recently, like relatively recently. You showed DC Comics is the number one publisher in market share, although
They are
some.
killing. They're
And
killing.
do you think, we'll leave you on a cliffhanger here. I mean, congrats to DC, but there was some. I think we even mentioned it on our last episode. There was some worries. I'll couch this in a sympathetic way. There were some concerns over Marvel that they are not as aggressively courting this kind of new comics audience as the way some other publishers are. Do you think that DC being shown to be number one for weeks on end might create some.
Gosh, I hope so. I think the best thing that can happen right now is Marvel and DC and Image and everybody competing for how we can bring people to comics. I think that would be the greatest thing ever. And I think in many ways, that's what we're seeing. I mean, we're seeing, I talked about Rekka earlier. They're bringing like this massive cybersecurity group that people with really high income into comic shops. We're seeing people like Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V, bringing people into comic shops. So like people that are like, he's got a huge platform and he's pushing people towards comics. I think that we're seeing this on a smaller level. We're seeing the bigger, I mean, even the kind of mid-tier companies like Vault and Mad Cave and those kinds of companies that are courting these big either musicians or content creators and saying, let us bring you to comics so that we can bring your audience to comics. I think that's part of why we're seeing this incredible increase in the stores. They're growing by 20, 30% in some cases because all these new people are coming into comics. Yes, it's Absolute Batman. Yes, it's this Dogman generation that came up through manga, now looking for something new. Yes, that generation is here, but I think it's also because these publishers should be competing for how do we get more people into this medium. And yeah, if Marvel gets in the game, forget it. It's like you're playing pinball and suddenly it's like three multi-balls in a row. We're not going to be able to keep up with all the people coming in. I'm looking forward to Marvel getting into the game.
Me too, me
Please.
too. And I'm sure they will. I'm sure
Yeah,
they
me
will.
too.
I guess that another reason that you didn't mention just right now is that comics are cool, Adam.
Yeah,
They're just cool.
they're
So
just
is com
cool.
so is Comics the magazine.
Thank you.
So is Prana Direct Market Solutions. We did not get to talk about Diamond or your Diamond about Prana Aggregator, but we should do a whole, I think what we'll do is a whole show about post-Diamond world and
Oh,
talk to yourself and some of the other players in
fascinating.
of the post-Diamond world, which I'm looking at the filings. I think we're getting to things are heating up. I think they seem to be coming faster. I think we're headed towards kind of an answer to some of the outstanding questions with the Chapter 7, and but
Oh
we'll
yeah.
see.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Adam, I know you got to go, but thank you so much for joining us here on
Of
More to Come.
course.
Adam Freeman, thank you so much.
Heidi, this was super fun. I would totally come back anytime you want.
All right.
And
Well,
we'll have you on again on ours
yes. Well, there
soon.
you go. Yes, let us go on a movable feast of podcasts. So guess what? There's going to be more to
Yes.
come. Let us go on a movable feast of podcasts. So guess what? There's going to be more to
Yes.
come.